The series that we're going to embark on just for a few weeks is called Unsung Heroes of the Bible. Now, I don't know about you, in church life, there are so many unsung heroes. I could list off a whole list of people who, in Hope Church, do so many things to bless others, but they don't have a platform, they're not in the limelight, they just serve because that's what's in their heart to do. And because of that, it's a fragrant offering to Jesus, and it's received as devotion. And there are many people in church life who think that in order to be successful as a Christian, you need to be promoted to some kind of visible ministry. And today I want to just focus in on one guy who is probably the most prominent, not often mentioned apostle in the New Testament era. He is mentioned alongside Paul and Peter, and even Jesus in 1 Corinthians, and his name is Apollos. And he was well known in the early church, but we don't often get to hear about him in the New Testament. And the few verses that we do get to hear about him are the verses I'd like to speak about today, because it shows us that we don't need to be in the limelight in order to be fruitful for Jesus. So meet Apollos. In Acts 18, we read about this man, Apollos. We read that he was a native of Alexandria. There's a map that might, maybe Sam could bring up on the screen right now. A native of Alexandria. Now, Alexandria was one of the most incredible urban centers in the whole of the known world at that time. It was actually in Egypt. It was African. And it was the place with the biggest library in the world at that time. It was a place of learning, of knowledge, of culture. And so Apollos was a native of Alexandria. And it says that he came to Ephesus, another huge cultural center around the Mediterranean. There was already a church established in Ephesus. It was made up of Jews and Gentiles. And so it looks as though Apollos traveled from Alexandria to Ephesus. And it was clear to everyone when they heard him that he was a learned man, that he knew some things, that he was deeply rooted in the scriptures. As a Jewish man, he would have learned the scriptures as a child and grown up around the scriptures. But there was something that Apollos applied to that, which took him beyond perhaps what other people understood from the scriptures. And I just want to pause at that point and just say, there are many people in church life who rely on other people to teach them the Bible. And that's okay, because there are spiritual gifts of teaching in the Bible. But the Lord doesn't want us to rely on other people. He wants us to be able to feed ourselves from the scriptures. It says that not only was he a learned man, but he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. So it's absolutely fine to be instructed in the ways of the Lord and to listen to teachers. Hope Church have some great teachers, and there are some amazing teachers that you can access online as well. And I know many of you have your favorite go-to teachers. But what the Lord wants beyond that is that we would feed ourselves from the Word of God. And it says that he spoke with great fervor and taught accurately about Jesus. So there are a few things that I just wanted to highlight today about Apollos. The first is this. Apollos was hungry for God's word. He was hungry for God's word. I don't know about you, I've got a relationship with the Bible only because it draws me closer to Jesus. I want to know about Jesus. I want to know about my Heavenly Father. I want to know the purposes of the Holy Spirit in the earth. I want to see the whole timeline from Genesis to Revelation of God's dealings with humanity. I want to understand what the future is. I want to understand the context of the moment we're in. And I can find all of those things in the Bible. Every human emotion is addressed in the Bible. Just read through the Psalms. There's depression, there's fear, there's anxiety, there's joy, there's exaltation. And every human emotion can be found in the Bible. Every problem that we go through has a solution that can be found in the Bible. And the Bible, uniquely amongst every book that's ever been written, focuses our gaze on Jesus. The Bible says about itself that it is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual book. It's not just another book. It's not just another set of pages with words on. It says it is spiritual. It's able to actually divide between soul and spirit and judge the motives of our hearts. And so I want to encourage us as a church to fall in love with the Bible again, in as much as the Bible points us to Jesus. There are people who read the Bible and it's just an empty exercise, it's just a dry theology, but I want to encourage you to read the Bible, because as you read the Bible, it draws you closer to your amazing Heavenly Father, and you find out about Jesus and everything that he wants to do in our lives. So Apollos was a learned man. That means that he studied the scriptures. Be one who studies the scriptures. And he was instructed in the ways of the Lord so that he had a thorough knowledge of what the Bible taught. Of course, at that time, it would have been the Old Testament scriptures. And Apollos had taken the Old Testament as a New Testament believer, as a child of God, as a Christian. And he understood the prophecies that were pointing towards Jesus. And so when he came to Ephesus, he was able to explain how the Old Testament prophecies revealed Jesus. The book of Hebrews, which some people think may have been written by Apollos, I have no opinion about that because it doesn't actually say. But the book of Hebrews does exactly that. It looks for shadows in the Old Testament that reveal the reality in Christ. And Apollos was skilled at being able to handle the scriptures. And so this morning, I wanted to just encourage us as a church to be hungry for the Word of God. Somebody once said to me, the Bible will keep us from sin, but sin will keep us from the Bible. It's so easy in today's world, full of distractions, social media, phones, feeds, noise, to be distracted from spending time in the Word of God. And the Word of God, when we hide it in our hearts, will keep us from sin and draw us closer to Jesus. So that's the first thing about Apollos. Apollos was hungry for the Word of God. Also connected to that, Apollos was teachable. So Apollos came, and it says in verse 25 of Acts 18 that he taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And then there's another group of unsung heroes, amongst them Priscilla and Aquila, who heard him speak in the local synagogue, realized that he had some gaps in his knowledge, invited him to their home, and explained to him the way of God more adequately. And so Apollos, although he was learned, although he knew some aspects of the message of Jesus, there were gaps in his understanding. And Priscilla and Aquila took the time to open their homes and to invite Apollos in so that he could learn the message of Jesus more adequately. And I want to encourage you, if you are perhaps more mature in the faith, you don't have to have a platform, or you don't have to have a public ministry in order to do what Priscilla and Aquila did. And that's just to draw alongside somebody else and help them to understand the message of Jesus more fully. That's discipleship. And I would encourage us as a church, because I don't want us to be a church full of church attenders. I want us to be a church full of disciples of Jesus, passionate disciples of Jesus. And so there are a church full of people who are either mature or baby Christians or somewhere in between, and all of us are on a journey towards Jesus. And so if you're a more mature Christian, would you pray about drawing alongside somebody who perhaps was in the position that Apollos was, of having gaps in their understanding, and help them to understand the ways of Jesus more fully? The second thing that I wanted us to understand about Apollos was that he was somebody who was on fire. He was on fire for God. In verse 25 of Acts 18, it says, he spoke with great fervor. He spoke with great fervor. That word fervor, it actually talks about something boiling over. There was something in him that was boiling over. He was hot. He wasn't lukewarm like some of the Christians described in Revelation. He was on fire for God. And In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we can see that he had such an impact on the people around him. So Apollos would move from Ephesus and be somebody who became someone of great importance in the Corinthian church. So he moved and was sent with letters of recommendation from Ephesus to Corinth. And in Corinth, he had an incredible ministry of helping Christians become solid in their faith and helping them to grow in the things of God. But what happened was, because Apollos was on fire and people had seen the ministry of Paul and people had seen the ministry of Peter in Corinth, it was quite a carnal church. Paul had to address a lot of issues there. But they'd begun to gather around personalities who they respected in the Lord. So some said, I follow Apollos because look, the guy is on fire. The guy handles the scriptures superbly and he's been used by God in really amazing ways. And then others said, well, I follow Paul. And some, it says also in the book of 1 Corinthians, I follow Cephas, or you know, the really spiritual ones, I follow Jesus. But then Paul said this, since there is jealousy and quarreling amongst you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And so Apollos was on fire for God in such a way that people wanted to follow him. And what I would say to us as believers in Corby and the surrounding areas today is that we can have Christianity and you know, we can go through the motions and have religion. But the key to the Christian life is life in the Spirit. All of us need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Each one of us needs the power and the life and the vitality of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit in our lives. So love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, etc. And the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of him in our lives. So it's not that we have to produce it. It's not like, oh, I need to try and be more loving, or I need to try and be more joyful, or I need to try and be more patient, and I need to try and be more kind. That's not what the teaching of the New Testament is. The teaching of the New Testament is be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of his presence in your life will be that you will be more joyful, and that you will be more loving, and that you will be more kind. To try and become all of the things that God wants us to be in our own strength is just empty formality and religion. It means nothing. It achieves nothing. The key to the Christian life is life in the Spirit. I want to be a hot Christian. Not like, hey, I want to be on fire for Jesus. I want to be on fire for Jesus. I want to be filled with his life. I want the Holy Spirit to come in my life in such a way that people see the character of Jesus in me and see power through signs and wonders, even miracles, as we behave and act in the power of the Spirit, just as Jesus did. And so today the Holy Spirit is available, not only to form Christ's likeness in us, but to give us the power to live the life that he's called us to, and to have the ministries that he's called us to have, which resemble the ministry of Jesus. And so I'm just going to pause and I'm going to pray. And I wonder right now if where you are, you would just open your heart to God and just receive for a moment, as I ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh. Holy God, we need you. We can't do this without you. We don't want empty religion. We want a life-transforming faith. Father, we want to be transformational in the world too. Father, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as in heaven. And we know that we can't do any of that without the power that you give us through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I ask right now that you would come and fill us afresh. Fill our hearts full of you. Fill our whole beings full of you. Father, we repent of self-reliance. We repent of self. Lord, where we've tried to do it on our own, Lord God, and have excluded you from the picture. When we've thought that we're clever enough or skillful enough or gifted enough, and we've forgotten that it all depends on you. Father, we repent of self-reliance. And today we want to be reliant on your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Empower the presence of Jesus in our lives. Come now. Fill us afresh. Just receive from him. Father, we want to be people of great fervor, like Apollos. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then the third thing that we learn from Apollos' life is that Apollos was a great help. Wow. Acts 18 verse 27 says this. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, that's the region in which Corinth was, the brothers and sisters encouraged him, wrote to the disciples there so that they would welcome him. And then when he arrived in that region in Corinth, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. He was a great help. I wonder today if you could just pause and just think about your role in the body of Christ. Think about what God has called you to do, what he has asked you to do. For some of us, we long for prominence. We long for a platform. We long for a spotlight. But God's not asking us to do that. Those things are all secondary. If God gives you a prominence in the body of Christ, then praise him, but all the glory goes to him anyway. But who are those in the body of Christ that you are helping today? Who are those that you are a help to? God has gifted you. He's given you unique talents, personalities, experiences. He's made you a one of a kind. There's no one else like you in the entire world. There's no one who can play the part that you can play in the body of Christ. Who are you helping today? When he arrived, Apollos was a great help to those who by grace had believed. And so, Lord, today, mobilize your body. Mobilize every one of us to be functioning parts of your body. Show us how we can use our gifts, our talents, our personalities, our experiences to bring glory and honor to you. I met with somebody the other day and we were talking about ministry, and I was saying, listen, my understanding is that you don't have to ask permission to love somebody. You don't have to ask anyone's permission to show kindness. Kindness, by the way, is love in action. So you can feel love towards somebody, but kindness is when you take that love and you do something for them that expresses that love. Kindness. Who are we helping today? Who are we serving today? Who are we drawing closer to Jesus today? What is our role in the body of Christ? Are we fully, actively engaged in the ministry that God has called us to? I wanted to finish by showing you a slide with various characters on it. So here we have the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a tent maker by trade, but as he traveled around from place to place, he was preaching the gospel. When he arrived in Corinth, he met a couple called Priscilla and Aquila. They were also tent makers, and so Paul and they had a lot in common. Paul stayed with them and taught them, instructed them, explained to them the gospel more fully. Paul took Priscilla and Aquila on the next stage of his journey from Corinth to Ephesus, where he stayed for an awfully long time. Priscilla and Aquila were his co-laborers. They worked really hard in the church to explain, to argue against those who would refute Christianity, and to lay foundations in people's lives as they drew alongside them. Paul moved on, Priscilla and Aquila stayed in Ephesus, and then Apollos came along. Apollos then came into the orbit of Priscilla and Aquila, who instructed him, and then Apollos went back to Priscilla and Aquila's hometown of Corinth and had an incredible ministry there. Paul passed on the gospel to Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila passed on the gospel to Apollos. Apollos passed on the gospel to the Christians in Corinth. All of us play a part in this incredible unfolding, eternal purposes of God, this unfolding story on the earth of God's dealings with humanity. The Bible says that the whole earth will be filled with a knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the seas. Jesus left the Great Commission to his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he had commanded them. And so Paul, in obedience to the call on his life, went. Met Priscilla and Aquila, who were obedient to the call of God on their lives, and they went. Who met Apollos, who was obedient to the call of God on his life, and he went. To then the Corinthians, who I imagine, after sitting under the ministry of both Paul, Priscilla and Aquila, and Apollos, were obedient to the call on their lives, and they went. Today, my prayer is that we would be obedient to the call of God on our lives and go in his name to take this message of hope to the ends of the earth, starting in Corby. Let's pray. Today it might be that the Lord has just reminded you of the call of God on your life, the ministry that he has given to you. And even if you don't know what your ministry is, every one of us can help others, can love others, can serve others. Let not lockdown be an excuse for inactivity in the kingdom of God. Let's not become lazy. Let's not forget others just because we don't see them on a Sunday or because we don't see people face to face. Let's not forget that the kingdom is still forcefully advancing, that Jesus still reigns and sits on his throne, and that the kingdom of darkness is still being driven back as the gospel goes out. So today it might be that you just want to say, Lord, thanks for the reminder. And I say, yes, Lord, what you've called me to, I want to do. I want to use the gifts and the talents that you've given me to serve other people. Thank you for entrusting me with this ministry. It might even be that even if you don't stand up, you might want to stand up just as a moment of recommitment. It might be that you just want to stand up on the inside, even as you're sitting down, and just say, Lord, today I recommit myself to serve you in this way, in Jesus' name. And it might be that today you know that your heart is, it feels that you need a touch, a fresh touch from God. That you've been trying in your own strength to do it and you can't. You feel dry. And you just long for a touch from heaven. You feel like a dry place and you want the living water to flood back into your life. And we thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is resident in each one of us if we're a Christian. But Father, you command us in Ephesians chapter 5 to constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive a touch from heaven, just reach out to him now. You don't have to do more than ask. Fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, even though they're evil. That's what the Bible says. How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Just ask right now. Lord, fill me. to say it. Lord, fill me. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill me, Lord, afresh with your Spirit today.